The Health Fix Podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, we are going to be talking about spinal hygiene and what you can do to maintain your spine health for life. I have Dr. Tabor Smith on today, and he is the head chiropractor over at Pure Life Family Wellness in Houston, Texas. He gets to work with his wife, who's also a chiropractor, which is awesome. And he is the founder of Spinal Hygiene Products, and he's got some products today he's going to show us that implement nicely to help with opening up your spine and keeping your spine healthy for life. Now, one thing to think about in light of the coronavirus, there's a lot of folks right now who are not getting out there to their chiropractors, their massage therapists, their acupuncturists, and they're in pain and they are struggling at home. So this is for you guys. It's also for folks that are missing out on general care for their spine because you're working so much at home with maybe some janky setups that, you know, aren't really working for you. Your back's hurting, your neck's hurting. This is for you as well. Things you can do to keep your spine healthy while you can't get into your chiropractor regularly. All right, folks, this is a great episode. I can't wait to jump in and get you meeting Dr. Tabor. So, all right, let's get on with the podcast. Hello there, health junkies. I have Dr. Tabor Smith today on as my guest. I cannot wait to be talking about how we can work on our spinal health every single day as we move forward. Now is time of the essence because we are in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic as we're recording this. And so a lot of folks are missing out on their chiropractors. So Dr. Tabor, welcome to the Health Fix.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited and I'm honored to be here.
Well, thanks. I'm glad that, I mean, this is a great topic. I really, in my mind, didn't think about spinal health per se in terms of the chiropractic aspect. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, stretching and things of that nature. So sure. There's so many things that I want to ask you about this, but first we got to do some of the basics because I like my folks to get to know you a little bit better. Sure. So you're down in Houston. Yes.
Yep. I am down here in Houston. I've been practicing for 12 years. My wife's been practicing for 11. She's a chiropractor as well. We have three little boys, a 10-year-old and twin 5-year-olds. And so we're still in practice here, but across the nation, a lot of offices have had to close down. We're taking really emergency cases for the most part, you know, in our office. So things are slow. A lot of people are staying home. But I always say, you know, just because you're staying home doesn't mean your spine needs to suffer. There are definitely some things that you should be doing.
Absolutely. And I've been noticing I'm seeing patients here and there kind of an emergency basis as well. And I'm seeing a lot of stuff related to folks sitting on the couch or working from home and they've got these weird janky situations going on in terms of their workstations.
You know, I try in my entire career, I've tried to really get across to people the importance of taking care of your spine and your spinal health, because that correlates directly with overall health. I mean, when we start to understand what the nervous system does, which is virtually control the function of the entire body, then it becomes important to take care of that system. And the spine and your nervous system intimately connected. So taking care of your spine helps your body function better in that routine. In fact, I learned that at a very young age. I was only a teenager and I started having severe lower back pains. It would shoot pains down my legs. It was absolutely miserable. I went to, you know, just your traditional route, medical doctor over and over. I was on pain meds, anti-inflammatories, got to taking a lot of muscle relaxers and just wasn't getting any relief until I found a chiropractor in our local town and relieved pressure from the nerve, showed me exercises, how to strengthen my spine. And since then, you know, well over 25 years ago, I have been maintaining the health of my spine through what I call spinal hygiene. And that's doing daily exercises to maintain the health of my spine. If you think about it, for your teeth, dentists teach us to take care of our spine at a very young, they teach us to take care of our teeth. At a very young age, we start brushing, we start flossing. Yes, we go to the dentist for checkups and when we need them for cleanings or getting cavities filled. But it's our responsibility to take care of our teeth from home through brushing and flossing. And I feel like in chiropractic you know, we haven't done as good of a job teaching the public to take care of their spine from home. And that's what we try to do. And now there's never been a time like right now when you should be implementing spinal hygiene and home spinal care.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this concept because, yeah, like you were saying, we're taught to brush our teeth. We're taught to do all those things, but we should be thinking about our spines because that's what gets us in trouble. That's right. What gets us on these pain meds and gets us in these downward spirals. And really, I have to admit, like once someone starts with some chronic pain, it seems like other health conditions fall from there. And
absolutely.
Of course, as we know, a lot of the spinal nerves are related to organs and things of that nature. So I'm hoping we might geek out a little bit on that as well today.
Certainly. Yeah. And that's been something that chiropractic is trying to been teaching over the last 120 years is that the nerves that exit the spine continue on to organs. And so, you know, my heart beats because my brain tells it to. My lungs breathe because my brain tells it to. My stomach digests because my brain tells it to. And those messages are being sent back and forth through that spinal column, out the nerves, every second of the day, which the body is absolutely amazing. It's a miracle that I can go to sleep and I don't forget to breathe. You know what I mean? Every second, my body is assimilating nutrients from food I eat, taking those nutrients to 70 trillion cells in my body. If that didn't happen every second of the day, I wouldn't make it through the day. Like that in itself is just a miracle. And that miracle happens because of the nervous system. So when our spine becomes damaged, which right now, the silent epidemic that's going on in our country and really around the world is spinal decay and degeneration. We're seeing more osteoarthritis and breakdown and damage at younger ages than we've ever seen before. And that irritation on the nervous system interferes with the function of the body. What does that mean? Well, it means your body can't heal as well as it should. It means you don't feel as well as you should. It means you might not have the energy that you should. And yeah, it's related to back pain or neck pain. That's kind of the general box chiropractic gets put in. But you don't realize taking care of your spine will have drastic effects on every other area of your body and area of your health as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that you said about, you know, highlighting, because I think a lot of people don't realize that when their spine degrades, that it actually will have an effect on the nerves and that yeah. nerve subsequently will cause some organ stuff.
Well, and I think that's a very, very important topic not to just jump over is that we used to think that spinal decay or arthritis just was caused by old age. You know, if you look at some of the specific studies and statistics, one study that was done by the American Journal of Neuroradiology showed that 96% of 80-year-olds have severe spinal degeneration. We kind of say like, okay, well, if you're 80, maybe that's okay. Then another study, I think it was the Chicago Institute for Neurosurgery, they showed that it was 80% of 50-year-olds. Okay, so we're now we're getting a little bit younger. We're like, wow, 80% of them have significant spinal decay. That's not cool. But then you look at another study. It was again by the American Journal of Neuroradiology. It showed that 37% of 20-year-olds in today's day and age have significant degeneration of the spine. And studies and researchers contribute that to poor postures that we're in all day, sedentary lifestyles, technology that we didn't have decades ago. Now we're in front of people. Look, you know, if you see someone walking around in your community today, their head is down and that's putting pressure on that upper back and neck area. And that stress on your spine over a long period of time begins to break it down and cause degeneration at earlier and earlier ages. I see it in my office all the time. Used to, 10 years ago even, when I would take x-rays of a teenager if they needed them, I wouldn't see bone spurs. I wouldn't see loss of disc space. Now, 16, 17, 18-year-olds already have the beginning stages of degeneration. It's something that we really need to start waking up and realizing that we have to improve posture, but we also have to take care of the spine now because you're going to be in worse postures. You're going to have to sit for longer periods of time. That's how society is going now. We're all going online. We're all going technology. So there are just some measures you're going to have to put into place if you want you and your family to have a healthy spine and nervous system.
I couldn't agree more. I see the same changes too. And man, it's like, it's quick. It is quick from what I've seen. I mean, I've been in practice about the same time as you, just a little over a decade. And like the changes are like, whoa, rapid fire. So what do you suggest folks do to get started with spinal hygiene? What should they start with?
You know, I use a lot of dental analogies because we already have kind of the foundation, a concept set, you know, for dentistry and dental hygiene. And one of the things that dentists did, a lot of people don't realize, back in the early 1900s, everybody didn't brush their teeth. Everybody didn't floss. And because of the influx of industrialization, the influx of processed foods, sugars in our diets, you know, it really drastically increased around the early 1900s. In fact, 200 years ago, the average American ate 2 pounds of sugar a year. Okay. Today, the average American eats 152 pounds of sugar a year. So what they noticed which is a whole nother podcast episode, right? But what they started noticing was that teeth were degenerating at younger ages. So if you were a dentist in the early 1900s, you were very busy pulling teeth all day. And so what they term now, or the person they give credit to, Dr. Alfred Fones, he's the father of dental hygiene. He started implementing preventative measures. And he turned his niece into the first ever dental hygienist. They started teaching people to take care of their teeth. And thank goodness that concept caught on, because now we have health, better dental health today than we did back then. The key was, though, is they started to understand what caused the teeth to decay. That was the breakthrough, right? And what they discovered was that it was bacteria that actually builds up in the teeth. And that bacteria will digest food particles that get stuck in the teeth. And a byproduct of digestion is an acid that the bacteria puts out. That acid degrades the enamel, causes dental caries. Okay. So I say all that to set this up. We have to understand what a healthy spine is and what causes degeneration. Because once we understand that, then we can start preventing it. And it just so happens we do understand that. We know that, and I always teach this in my practice, a healthy spine consists of three things: alignment, motion, and strength. And I break that down into very, you know, that's the simplicity model right there. Of course, there's a lot more that probably goes into that. But just understanding alignment is important, motion and movement is important, and strength is important. And then you'll start to understand these spinal hygiene exercises that I'm going to give you when we explain those, but they're all around improving and maintaining alignment, motion, and strength of your spine.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm taking notes really fast. So that
very cool.
Keep up. So alignment, motion, strength, those key three things. All right. And so each and every one of the exercises are going to encompass those three.
Right. Because we've noticed lack of any of those, lack of, you know, poor alignment, poor motion, poor strength, or abnormal tone of muscles. Like, those things lead to faster decay and faster degeneration. And so one of the big ones is motion. Okay, so the spine has 24 movable segments. I always say God could have made our spine in one bone, like the femur. He could have made it as a femur, but then we would not be able to move. So our spine is literally created or evolved, or whatever the term that you want to use. The purpose of the spine is to allow movement. And it makes sense. If that movement is not allowed, that spine deteriorates and breaks down.
Perfectly said.
Makes sense, right? Absolutely. So your spine should move in three planes of motion. And I always like to explain that. So forward and back, that's one plane. That's what we call a plane. Moving side to side, like you're bending to the right or bending to the left, that's the second plane. And the third plane is rotation. So I can turn and look behind me both directions. So forward, back, side, side, and rotation, three planes of motion. And a simple daily spinal hygiene exercise, which is the exercise I recommend everybody implements first. And if you only implement one spinal hygiene exercise into your life, this is the one to implement, is to take your spine to the end of each plane and hold it for 10 seconds. So I would bend forward like I'm going to touch my toes, and I would hold that for 10 seconds. Okay. And then I would put my hand on my hip and look back and bend backwards like I'm looking up at the ceiling. I would hold that for 10 seconds. And then as I'm standing, what I could do is slide my left hand down my leg to my knee. As I slide down to the left, I'm bending and putting a curve in my spine to the left. Hold for 10 seconds, right? To the right, sliding that right hand down the leg to the knee, holding for 10 seconds. And then once I've done with that, I'm going to hold my hands together in front of me and turn all the way to the left. I'm looking back over my shoulder as far as I can for 10 seconds. And I'm going to do that to the opposite side, turning to the right, looking back as far as I can, holding that for 10 seconds. And if you think about it, What I just did was six motions held for 10 seconds. Six times 10 is 60. So for 1 minute a day, that's all you have to do to start implementing spinal hygiene. Like the easiest thing in the world. If you thought brushing your teeth was easy, you've not tried spinal hygiene yet, right?
Oh my goodness. You might even be able to get like a three-year-old to do this.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. You know what? That's actually a great, great point is I have my kids do this with me. And you know, in dentistry, we've learned, you know, even if my kids can't brush them teeth, their teeth themselves, I do it for them, right? I'm holding the toothbrush every morning. I'm brushing their teeth because I want them to have great dental health. This is something you can do for your kids because you want them to have great spinal health too. And so it's a fun thing to do as a family for sure.
Oh my goodness. I can see how many kids would eat that up. And mm-hmm. I just was enjoying just the turning. I mean, it feels right? good. It like helps you open things up. I think a lot of people naturally will do a little bit of this, but all they have to do is add a couple more things to it.
That's right. Imagine this. So if I'm a desk worker in front of a computer, and let's say I don't get into yoga, or I don't go to the gym as much as I should. Like you literally might not take your spine through a full range of motion in a year's time, like depending on how much exercise you actually get. But there are people out there who don't take their spine through a full range of motion ever. They never took it to the end. And what happens is if you don't use it, you what?
You're going to lose it.
You're going to lose it. That applies to the spine and the nervous system and all those things. So we have to use it. So just taking that spine to a full range of motion makes a big difference over time. It's like the compound effect. I'm a big Darren Hardy fan. But I tell people, look, if you brush your teeth once in your life, it's not going to make one bit of difference. You would have never known you even did brush your teeth 10 years ago. It wouldn't matter. So if you just do one spinal motion, spinal hygiene exercise in your one day of your life, it's not going to make a difference either. But I guarantee you, the person who brushes their teeth every day over years sees a significant difference in the health of their teeth. And you will as well see a significant difference in the health of your spine if you'll implement this on a regular basis.
Absolutely agree. I absolutely agree. I'm thinking you could probably do it while you're brushing your teeth, even if you like. You
know. I like your efficiency there.
Just stacking those habits on top of each other.
You know what? Yeah. So there's a book. I forget what it is. It's something about habits. But I remember reading that like you're more likely to do it if you can tie it to a habit you already have, right? So we're already in the habit of brushing our teeth. Doing your daily spinal hygiene exercise during that time, I think, is a great idea.
Why not? And what about like multiple times a day? Is that overkill or?
Yeah, no. In fact, I recommend it for my patients who are really sitting at a desk for long periods of time. Sitting to the spine is like sugar for the teeth. Mm-hmm. It's not good over long periods of time. So if you're having to sit there for hours, what I want you to do is every 30 minutes, you know, a lot of people are like every hour I get up and I stretch. I want you to do it every 30 minutes, stand up, do that simple 1 minute exercise, and then sit back down and get back to work, right? You take it 1 minute out of every 30 to keep your spine moving.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Now, I want to address the folks who are super fit, but they work in this one plane because we've got I see a lot of CrossFitters. They're lifting weights, but they're not going this way. They're not going that way. They're not twisting. Yep. I want to make sure that you also say that. So for the folks who are exercisers, this is for you too. This
vital. you don't realize what you just said is that you're spot on. In fact, for health of the brain, we need lateral movement and motion. It was Roger Sperry, 1982 Nobel Prize winner. He actually said he won the Nobel Prize for his research in brain research, neurology, whatever it was. And he said, movement of the spine acts like a windmill to a power plant in that movement of the spine supplies your brain with power. So if we're just moving in one plane, we are not getting that input, that feed, and that stimulus to the brain like we need. We have to be moving laterally. I interviewed a chiropractic neurologist by the name of Dr. Michael Hall for our movie coming up called A Better Way. Ooh. And he dove deep into this. I'm not sure how much of it actually made the movie, but it was very interesting when you just said that. It sparked that back up. He said that we're doing too much, you know, treadmill, bicycle, like everything is in this one plane and we're not getting out of that and allowing the body to move. And that's where your brain really responds best to some of those movements.
Oh, yes. I love it. Now movie, do tell. I want to hear about this.
Oh, you've got to check this out. You can see the trailer if you go to abetterwayfilm.com.
Okay.
So we travel around over the last 2 years. This movie will be coming out this summer.
Okay.
And we interviewed, I sat down with people. What I wanted to know was the people who they were on all the medications, like my mom, my mom passed away at the age of 47, taking 21 prescription medications. I know because I sat there and went through her bag and counted one by one the prescriptions that she was on. And I realized that, especially over this last decade of being able to share some of these things with people and interviewing natural health experts, that there's a better way, that there's a population of people who were there. Like they were sick, they were suffering, they were taking all the meds, they were having all the surgeries, but they found a better way. They changed their life. They started taking better actions. They utilized chiropractic, they utilized acupuncture, they utilized other natural health professionals and experts who changed their diet. And I sat down, I interviewed them, and we learned how they transitioned, got off their life. You know, this COVID outbreak is a great example. There's a high risk population, right, that we know, and there's a lower risk population, if you will. And these people that I interviewed literally moved themselves out of a high risk population into a lower risk population. I get the goosebumps just talking about it. Because you can change your life, and more people need to know about, you know, how people are doing that. Because, you know, I just believe natural's where it's at, because that's the way God created the body. That's the way our ecosystem works. And a lot of times we really mess things up as humans when we step in and we try to artificially correct things. Not to say that's not ever necessary. I'm just saying that as a whole, there's just a better way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. My goodness. I mean, part of one of the reasons why you're still working through this COVID thing and I'm still working through this COVID thing is to keep patients off their opioids. The ones that I'm seeing as emergency cases, they're the ones that are the most fragile, and they're on that teeter between, we just got them off.
Yes.
But if I keep them without having any therapy, they're going to go, I mean, we got, you know.
Especially right now when people are quarantined, that's what they reach for most, right? We're seeing increase in alcohol sales, increase in drug usage, increase in, you know, prescription drug usage as well. So now is vital time for you to be doing those types of things for your patients. So I thank you for doing that for your community.
Absolutely. Same to you. So what can we build upon this basic routine? So I already did the 1 minute. I'm like, give me more. What else?
Okay. So what I recommend is what I call the core four exercises. And you just learned one. The range of motion exercise is the first exercise of the four. Okay. And I would say it's the easiest to do. It's the one I tell, people to do if that's the only one that they do, the range of motion. The other very important aspect of your spine is alignment. And a lot of people realize that from front to back, your spine should be straight. Now, we do see cases that are abnormal. We see scoliosis. We see tilt shifts, translations, curvatures that appear in the spine. But ideally, if I could say this would be perfect, it would be a straight spine from front to back. Where a lot of people don't realize that is vitally important for a spine to have curves is when you're looking at it from the side. And so from the side, we should have natural curvatures. We should have a good curve in the neck. It should curve the opposite way in the upper back, called the thoracic curve. And we should have another curve in the lower back that matches the one in the neck, called the lumbar curve, right? Now, we lose those curves whenever we have to be in front of computers and technology and sitting for long periods of time. We lose those curves, and that speeds up the degenerative process. In fact, you can ask any chiropractor, really any medical doctor that looks at a lot of x-rays, and say, where's the most degenerative area of the spine? Like, I could just look at someone and say, they probably have degeneration at this level. It would be C5, right in the middle portion of the neck. We lose our disc height there. We start to get bone spurs there. It affects we get numbness, tingling in our fingers if that starts to happen, right? And usually it's because we lose that curve. So what we recommend on it as a daily spinal hygiene exercise is what we call spinal molding. Because you're doing, you know, all this damage to your spine, hunched forward, bent forward in front of technology all day, we want to mold the spine back into a good alignment at night. Now, we actually have spinal molding rolls. They're foam rolls that people, one would put a roll underneath the neck, and then you would put one roll underneath the lower back. So really, right in those curves is what we're molding, and those rolls would go right in there. One of the things we did before we had spinal molding rolls, and a lot of your listeners can do, is just roll a towel. You know, you can take a hand towel, not a little washcloth, but one of the bigger hand towels that you dry your hands on. You fold it in half and roll it, and you can lay on your bed, or you can lay on your floor, and you put one underneath the curve of your neck and one underneath the curve of your lower back, and you just lay on that. It's simple. Just mold those curves back into your spine every night, and that helps support those curves of your spine. And again, doing it once is not going to change your life, but over many different days, over a longer period of time, you will have better spinal curves in those areas than the average person, which is just happens to be one of the most common subluxations. That's just a big technical term for misalignments that we see as chiropractors.
Oh my goodness. That's huge. That's huge. Cause I think a lot of people, you know, speaking of stacking habits again here, a lot of people could use this as part of their wind down routine for the evening.
Absolutely. No, you're great. Yeah. Stack habits. What I do is I say my prayers at night when I lay on the bed. Right. And so it actually helps me to go to sleep. Sometimes I fall asleep on my rolls and, you know, because I'm able to kind of de-stress, which is right now in today's day and age, that's what we need the most. We need the meditation or the, you know, prayer and the, you know, having your own quiet time and just resting and digesting, you know?
Absolutely. Got to get in that parasympathetic mode just a little bit.
Amen.
Now those the rolls are a lot smaller. So one of the things I want to to mention, because I think a lot of people are going to see your rolls and be like, oh, can I use foam rollers? And I'm that's like way too much curve. So speak to that a little bit for folks.
So these are about 3 inches in diameter, and they are kind of they're hard, soft foam, if you will. Like, you know, they're going to be firm, but they're still soft enough. They're comfortable. Your foam rollers that you're using are a lot of times way more firm than the ones that we use for the spinal molding. But yeah, 3 inches in diameter, and that's kind of what you want to shoot for when you're rolling your towel as well. You know, a little bit over, a little bit under is not going to be a big deal, but your foam rolls that you're talking about are sometimes 6 inches around, and that's just going to be way too much. In fact, it probably would be probably wouldn't be good, because you're going to push that head forward and you're going to put yourself in a head forward posture while you're laying on it. So I would make sure that you're closer to 3 inch diameter.
Good, good. Thanks for noting that. Because I think a lot of people have seen different videos online and they get the idea that they could use this. And I find for a lot of people, when you put that foam roller behind the neck and you lay, I mean, I feel like it's doing this. And
yes, it'll push it forward.
Good. It doesn't.
Right. I agree.
Gotcha. All right. So what's number two?
Okay. All right. So those are the two, I would say, if you just did range of motion in the morning, spinal molding at night, that would be equivalent to brushing your teeth every day. But some people take even dental care to another level and they say, I'm going to floss every day as well, right? And so their dental health gets to be even better than the average person's. And so the other two exercises that I'll go over with you right now, I would say is the floss for spinal hygiene, pretty much. And the reason why we say that is because, again, the most degenerative areas of your spine, we already talked about C5 being the most degenerative area. The other most degenerative area is L5, the very low disc of the spine. And so we see bone spurs there. We see loss of disc height there more than any other place besides C5 and through the neck. And the reason is for those two areas, number one is they are correlated with the most degenerative postures we see in society. Number one, head forward posture, that loss of curve in the neck that causes degeneration of C5. Number two is sitting for long periods of time. Like we said, sitting for the spine is like sugar for the teeth. If you sit for long periods of time, it will degenerate the spine. Well, why, right? This is the big question. Why does your spine degenerate if you're sitting? Because in order for the discs in your spine to stay healthy, after puberty, by the way, I'll just give you a little bit of a science lesson here that I think is really cool. Like, if you think about what is puberty, is a change of hormones. And one part of that change of hormones decreases the amount of blood flow that goes to certain areas of your body. Because before puberty, you're growing really quickly. So your bones need a lot of blood flow. Your discs need a lot of blood flow, because that's how nutrients get there, and you're just growing and growing. When we stop growing so much and we go through puberty, hormones change, the blood flow to your discs almost completely shuts off. So you don't get the blood flow to your discs. The only way that your discs get nutrients in and waste material out is through a process called imbibition, which means movement. So as you're moving your spine, you are literally feeding nutrients to your discs. You're pumping nutrients in and you're pumping waste materials out. So imagine if you're not taking your spine through a full range of motion, you're sitting for long periods of time, so there's almost no movement in that lower back, your disc degenerate. It's just not getting the nutrition that it needs. So one of the things that we use, and I apologize for people who maybe aren't using a video here, but I'm holding a wobble disc. And this is just an aired up exercise disc that is used in some gyms. And what we do is we set this in the seat or in a chair. We sit on it and we would bend kind of like we're doing our spinal range of motion exercises. We would bend, wobble forward and back, side to side, and rotation in each direction. So you're literally getting imbibition in L5, in that lower portion of your disc. And so you're pumping nutrients and waste materials out every single day, keeping L5 healthy, preventing it from degenerating.
Ah, I like it. I like it. That's kind of like the old wobble chair.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly. It's just a lot less expensive. I think those things were like $1,000 or something like that in some chiropractic offices. But that's just a very effective way. I have some patients who are in front of a computer a lot and they're sitting, they'll put this in their office chair and they'll actually just sit on it.
Huge. Something else that we can add that's super easy. Just
absolutely
bum and go.
Yep.
Take it.
All right. So that is the third exercise. That's for your lower back. Technically that's for, and it's really for the whole spine, but technically it's to help prevent degeneration at L5, which is a very common area. To help prevent degeneration at C5, what we have to do is we have to prevent head forward posture. And this, a lot of the people are going to really like this tip because it can help prevent that humping in the upper portion of the back. We call Dowinger's hump that nobody wants, right?
No.
So yeah, so a head forward posture, as your head shifts forward, it begins to put more and more weight on the base of your neck and the discs in your neck. And that's why it will degenerate and damage the discs in that lower portion of the neck. The way we can prevent that is to strengthen the muscles in the back of the neck. And I don't know if you can see this, but we use an exercise band, and you can get any exercise band, just get an elastic band. You put it around the back of your head and hold it with your hands. And as you tuck your chin back, you tighten that band and hold that exercise for 10 seconds, relax for 5 seconds. And we just do that exercise 5 to 10 times a day, and we strengthen all the muscles in the back of the neck. Now, there are multiple ways to strengthen the muscles in your back of your neck. I mean, you could just push back on your seat in your car, whatever it is that you can do. But if you don't, all day long, you're strengthening the muscles in the front, right? Looking at the computer, writing on paper, you know, all kinds of things. You're strengthening the muscles in the front, and the muscles in the back get weaker and weaker. And that's what allows that head to shift forward and eventually degenerates the discs in the spine.
Huge. That is so huge. Yeah. I don't know how many times I talk about how those guys are like stretched super long in the back and those muscles are super long and just weak.
Absolutely.
A lot of people are like, but they're tight. I'm like, no, tight muscles don't mean that they're strong.
Right.
It means that they're just.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's ideal spinal hygiene. If I could just sum it up to put it in kind of a day. In the morning, I like to do my range of motion stretch because most people are tighter in the morning. You've laid in one position in a long period of time. So your synovial fluid has not been warmed up yet. So doing a light range of motion stretch in the morning is a great way to warm up. In the evening, I like to do my spinal molding rolls. And like we said, that's a great time to say your prayers, to kind of meditate, get quiet, to rest, and laying on the spinal molding roll. And then just sometimes during my day, I want to make sure I get in my wobble exercise and my resistance band. And if you do that every day, I guarantee you, your spine's going to start getting healthier and healthier, and your health will show that as well.
Absolutely. No, and this seems like it. If you add up the time to do it, it's only a couple of minutes. It's not.
That's it. That's it. And start with a range of motion exercise. You know, give it 1 minute. As you start to see some results, you can add the spinal molding. And then as you're saying, oh, you know what? There's really something to this taking care of my spine. Then you can start adding that wobble disc, that resistance band. And then I always recommend that you have a chiropractor on your health team so that you go to for checkups. They can adjust and correct anything that, you know, exercises won't correct. But I just tell people, if you really want to make an impact in your health, yeah, diet's important, exercise is important, you know, all those things are important, but find a natural healthcare practitioner that can be a coach for you and can help you through acupuncture, through chiropractic, through, there's a lot of different modalities and things out there, but use those first, and then we can leave drugs and surgery for last resorts, and you're just going to live a better, healthier life if you do that.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Dr. Tabor, this has been so much fun. And now I'm excited because now I want to go play with all this because I'm a geek to the core and I love to work with this. And I'm definitely going to be educating my patients on this as well. Now, sure. If there's some folks that are listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, I want to know where I can find those roles. I want to know where I can get a band like that. Now, is this your website, the Spinal Hygiene Products website? Is that where folks can find all of
this? Yes. Yeah, so if you go to spinalhygieneproducts.com, we have all of our products on that site. If you want to learn more about it and see, dive into a lot of what we've kind of touched on here, if you go to homespinalcare.com, you can actually download my book for free, and you get videos and instructional videos on how to actually do the exercises.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And folks, I will be putting this on my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com and thehealthfixpodcast.com so that if you missed it, couldn't write it down fast enough, it is going to be there for you. Because I think when you're learning something new, you do want to see a video again or, you know, just a little demo of how do I exactly use the wobble disc? How do I exactly, you know, hook myself up with a band and get all that? So I think that's great that you are offering this. Now, if folks are in the Houston, Texas area, your office is Pure Life Family Wellness, correct?
Correct. Just purelifefamilywellness.com. My wife and I are there. We're still practicing. We're still helping people. And, if you need anything, just give us a call.
Awesome. Thank you so much for all of your information. I can't wait to share it with folks and being willing to jump on and share with everybody in this time of need when we are not being able to get to all of our folks like we normally could.
Well, thank you for having me on. Thank you for the opportunity of sharing. And thank you for doing shows like this and getting a message out that I believe more people need to hear. You're literally not just changing lives. I believe you're saving lives by getting this information to more people.
Absolutely. Yes, we sure certainly are together. Hey, Health Junkies, Dr. Janine Krause here. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. Guess what? I have a Facebook group. It's called Anti-Aging Health Tips with Dr. Janine Krause. So if you want a little bit more of the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group and let's chat. Now I'm also offering a health transformation and restoration program. It's a one-on-one with me, and it's for folks who are sick and tired of going to doc after doc and health coach after health coach and not seeing the results that they want and deserve. In my program, I'm working with folks with transformation. So this isn't just a light program. This is a big deal. I'm going to change how you think about your health and your life kind of program. And I'm super excited to offer it to folks. And if you are at all interested, we should talk. I'm offering 45 minutes free with me chatting to see if and how I can help you. And you can get all the details over at my website, drjkrausnd.com. All right. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.